As we go on in our study of the Apostle Paul, as we find the record in the book of Acts in the 23rd chapter, we find an answer to this question, whether or not a man can expect to have everything work out right if he's doing what's right. Because in the case of the Apostle Paul, the only interest that he had was preaching the gospel to people. And yet we have found here in chapter 23 that he's been arrested and brought before the court and has been put on trial because of the things that happened. You will remember, as we were just finishing our last study, that the Lord himself stood by Paul and encouraged him and told him that Paul was going to continue to serve him in his will. Did you notice this? That the Lord Jesus allowed Paul to become involved in a controversy, in a quarrel, even to the point of danger, and that although he came and dealt with Paul personally, he did not change the situation? He helped his servant to remain steadfast under pressure, but the Lord Jesus did not change one thing that was happening in Jerusalem at that time. And so we learn to say to ourselves something like this: the ways of God do not lead us into ease or into escape from strain or from trouble or from danger. The way of God leads us rather through temptations into glory. And we're going to see that now in the case of Paul in this very instance. We are turning now in chapter 23 in the book of Acts and going on from verse 12. And if you read on from verse 12 to 15, you will find that a certain group of extremists among the Jews took a vow that they were going to kill Paul. I think it's worth reading for you just to notice what this is. Now remember, during the night, the Lord Jesus had stood by Paul and had told Paul not to be afraid, that Paul was going to serve him in Rome also. In verse 12, "And when it was day, the very next morning, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse," they took a vow, "saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 which made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore you with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him.'" That's the way in which they put it. In other words, they planned to ambush him and to kill him from ambush. You could very well wonder in yourself at this point, is the Lord with him? And you may believe for sure, yes, he's with him. Is the Lord watching over him? Yes, the Lord is watching over him. Just the night before he stood by him and told Paul, "Don't be afraid." You know, when he was saying to Paul, to be of good cheer, I think he had in mind not only because of what had happened, but because of what was going to happen. We have these moments of fellowship with the Lord, not only to encourage us about the past, but also to prepare us and to encourage us for the future. And so we might very well ask ourselves at this point, what should Paul do now when he had understood and heard that these men were going to kill him? Should he just submit to it? Let us see what happens in verse 16. "And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul." So Paul now understands these men are out there to kill him. You and I will remember Paul's going to do the will of the Lord. Does this mean now that what a man should do in Paul's case is just give in? Should he at this time just let them have their way? Notice what happened. "Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, 'Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him.' So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him, and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand, went with him aside privately, and asked him, What is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart, and charged him, See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. So I pause again to raise this question with you and with me. Should Paul have just let the matter go? The young man, his nephew, came and told him that they were going to kill him. Should Paul just have said, Well, I'm in the hands of the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants to do, that's what he's going to do. What did Paul do? Paul sent word to the chief captain about the truth of the situation. Perhaps we should read the rest of this passage for you to get the whole picture. It's very natural, and you'll be interested in it. He called unto him 2 centurions, saying, Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, that's 70 horsemen, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. And provide them beasts, that they may set Paul on, and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. So actually what he did, what you and I would say, he arranged a change of venue. He would send him to another court. Notice in all of this that Paul couldn't have done a thing about this. Did you notice in everything that we have seen so far that so far as Paul's own experience is concerned, he was almost helpless? He couldn't do anything about it. The Jews arrested him and brought him before the council. He couldn't deny that. He couldn't resist that. While he was in there, he cleverly managed to throw them into confusion by drawing attention to the difference between them as Pharisees and Sadducees. But that didn't release him. He was then taken over into the castle. He was still a prisoner. The soldiers came and took him. He was in prison. He was still going to have to face the charges against him. And then, you remember, the Lord came and dealt with him to encourage him, but the Lord didn't make any change. He didn't bring him out of prison. He didn't cause the army, as it were, to let him go. And so now he finds that these 40 men have taken a vow that they're going to kill him, and he's in danger. Now what happens? Paul couldn't do anything about it. He was in prison. If they were going to take him down from one place to another as an arrested prisoner, he couldn't help it. So he sends word to the chief captain, and in connection with it, you will notice that he does not make any particular plea. He isn't asking the chief captain to be merciful to him. He sends him the information. This is an example of doing what can be done and doubtless trusting the Lord. This is an important principle. If the whole story, I think, would be different if Paul hadn't sent his nephew up there to the chief captain. There is something we can do. So we do what we can do. But we can't do everything. No, but God can do, and God can bless what we do. Look that over again. Here is Paul, a prisoner. He can't get out. And there are men planning to kill him from ambush. And he is helpless about the whole thing. But he can send word to the chief captain. He sends this word to the chief captain. The chief captain can have it in hand to act. That's something he can do. This he does. And I'm satisfied in his heart. He's trusting the Lord who told him the night before that he was going to eventually wind up in Rome. He would not be killed, you see. He was actually going to have to go to Rome. Well, if he was going to have to go to Rome, they couldn't kill him. So far as Paul is concerned, he has confidence. Will you pardon me a moment if I just stay here at this moment and emphasize something? The confidence that Paul had that he was going to go to Rome did not result in Paul deciding to do nothing. Paul didn't, as it were, sit down, fold his hands, and say, Well, the Lord promised me I'd get to Rome, so to Rome I will go. No. He acted in the matter according to what he could. This is included, doubtless, in God's plan. So he brought the attention to the chief captain of the plans of these hoodlums who were going to kill him, of these men who had taken a vow they were going to kill him. The captain may arrange the change of venue, taking him out of that city to take him to another city. That was the captain's business. Paul couldn't do that, but it could be done. Here's an interesting thing. Paul could not have done anything to save himself in that practical situation, but God arranged that help should come to Paul from the Romans. Yes, you know what that means? From pagans. From men altogether outside the whole picture. They weren't Jews and they weren't Christians. They were pagans. And God used them. And you can see in this whole thing how much that happened that affected Paul was the kind of thing over which Paul had no control. I'm going to pause at that moment and leave our study there today as we think about this, because I want every one of us to gather this into our own hearts. We as Christians may oftentimes find ourselves in situations that are very undesirable, even impossible. We may be face to face with situations that are beyond our control. Things can be happening to us, things over which we have no control. We're bound to have to face certain situations, but that does not mean that we don't do anything in the situation that we are in. There may be some action we can take. And if there is an action that we can take, we should take that action, trusting in the Lord to use it, and don't be surprised if God brings help to you from the most unusual, unexpected circumstances and sources. Our God and Heavenly Father, teach us how to put our trust in Thee, and show us these things, that we may be found trusting in Thee and depending upon Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.